from Redlands. Not quite Ipswich, but we'll, you know, we can tolerate it. All the way from Redlands, our senior pastor Mark. Let's give him some encouragement as he comes forward.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. I've got a little video clip for you. I hope a little teaser just to get us started. And as the minis can head out now into the green room, if you're ready to go, minis. And the youth small groups can head out too. Great. You can watch the video if you like. It goes for 1 minute. It's pretty good. Here we go. Hey, in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 10, it says this, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, grace works, you know, which he prepared in advance for us to do." God has things for you to do that he already has in mind. He has planned and prepared things for you to do, things that only you can do, things that no one else in this world can do. People to love, prayers to pray, things to achieve, gifts to give, people to interact with. God has good things for you to do in this world. He has work for you to do. He has ministry for you to do. He has things set apart that only you can do. I can't do the things God's prepared for you to do. They're for you. They're yours. They're your destiny. They're the things that God has in mind for you. Now, whenever God has something in mind for his people can either choose to cooperate with him. We call that walking by the Spirit, where you submit your own agenda and you courageously walk in God's ways, responding to his leading, being a righteous person. You can cooperate with God. You can live a life by the Spirit. If you do that, you will achieve the things God has for you. You'll be faithful. He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Or you can choose to not cooperate with God's Spirit. You can fight against him. You can, what the Bible calls, walk by the flesh. You can say, not your way, but my way be done. God has things for you to do in this world. And the question is, will you cooperate with him? Will you discover who he's made you to be, how he's uniquely shaped you, the things he's put in you? And then will you walk by the Spirit to achieve the things God has for you? Because if each of us do that, if each of us walk by the Spirit, achieve the things God has for us, the whole church is built up in here, and more importantly, the community outside is blessed. We are salt and light. We show love and grace and mercy and justice to people. So, are you up for it? Yeah? So how do you know what you're supposed to do? How do you kind of find your way? You know, God has things in store for you, things that only you can do, things that you've got to walk with his Spirit to find out. And this is the reason why we're doing this series on spiritual gifts, to help you understand, how has God made me to be? What should I do? What does he have in store for me? What kinds of things, what kinds of places, what kinds of people? What am I supposed to do with this life God has given me? Now, I've got heaps of content over the next few weeks, so I've done, by the power of Merrill, a booklet, okay? And by the power of Julie, because she was amazing to help me with this. So this is kind of sermon notes turned into a little handout for you. I want to show you one thing that is in here. There's a link on... Oh, Merrill, no page numbers. There's a... Don't tell her I said that. I'll be in big trouble.
She hears everything.
She hears everything. Now, I have a little, there's a handout here. On the way out, you'll be able to get them. They'll be at the back, and the guys will be handing them out there. But there's a link in there that I would like to show you, and it's a link for what is called the shape test. I'm going to explain this in just a sec, but I want to just, we might be able to put it up on the screen. Here we go. Okay. So you can just scroll through and it will go through all the bits and pieces, spiritual gifts and heart and passion and all, like It's a whole big thing that will help you find your way. Okay, so the link's in here. There's also a standalone spiritual gift test you can do on what I'm calling page 3. So grab one of these on the way out. There's info there. Jump in and have a look. Okay, quick recap on last week before we jump into our content for this week. We're asking the question, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to serve? How do I make my best contribution? Now, you've got to discover your spiritual gifts. You've got to develop them and deploy them. How do you discover them? Quick recap. Try a bunch of stuff. Experiment. Have a go. Number 2, look for the things that make a significant difference. The X factor. Wow, I prayed for people and stuff happened. Maybe I have the gift of intercession. Or I find it really easy to believe God and people feel encouraged when they talk about my faith. Maybe I have the gift of faith. Look for, try a bunch of stuff. Look for what makes a difference. Third one is ask the people around you, where have you seen God use me? What do you think God has put in me? Okay? That's how you discover. Develop is about having a go. Paul says to Timothy, fan into flame the gifts that are in you, the gift that is in you. Develop it. You use it. You find a mentor. You find someone who's further down the track that has the same gifts as you, and you learn from them. You have a go, you grow, you develop, and then you deploy them. You use them. So Paul is talking about what it means to be spiritual. Spiritual gifts is part of that. But the big topic in 1 Corinthians 12 that he's looking at is, he says, don't be ignorant when it comes to the things of the Spirit. I want you to be informed. And then he talks about true spirituality and false spirituality. He says false spirituality is replicating spiritual activity. It's pagan spirituality. It's spiritualism. It's mysticism. It's meditation and clairvoyance and tapping into kind of higher spiritual realities. It's consulting mediums. All of that is spiritual behavior, but that doesn't make someone Christian, right? Outward behavior doesn't mean inward transformation. And in a culture where everyone is spiritual, Paul says the key thing is not all the outward behaviors. The key thing is, has that person been born again? Is Jesus their Lord? Are they living out the conviction that Jesus is Lord, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in the face of pressure? A holy life, a life of love and worship, a life where they are using the things that God has given them, his love and his gifts. Now, we live in a culture, too, that is fascinated with the spiritual. More and more people say, I'm not religious, but I consider myself to be a spiritual person. Okay, well, that's who cares? That's not enough. Going to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Festival doesn't make you a follower of Jesus. Neither does singing songs with your hands in the air. Neither does attending each week. You have to have an inner transformation. To quote G.K. Chesterton, standing in the garage doesn't make you a car. You have to have a radical transformation. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in the garage makes you a car. Something has to happen to you. Has that happened to you? If it has, great. Let's talk about what that life looks like. If it hasn't, Paul's already said, we repent from our sin, we put our trust in Jesus, and we are born again. He transforms us, gives us new life. See Ephesians 2, 1 to 10 for details. Okay, discover, develop, deploy. That's a recap from last week. Now, I hope you went home interested, stimulated, questioning. Some good conversations happened. I had a bunch of great conversations last week with people. But there is more to the how do I know what I'm supposed to do than just spiritual gifts. God has made us. He's shaped us uniquely. He has work for us to do that no one else can do. Now, often the acronym that is used is the acronym SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E. Shape. And shape is helping you discover who God has made you to be. And I've got up on the screen here for you. Shape. I'm an Australian. I've added an O. Shape-O. Mate, have you done your Shape-O? Oh, mate, haven't done it yet, eh? Become a Kiwi all of a sudden halfway through my accent. It's because I do too many accents at home, hey? Yeah, my Russian is not so good, yeah. Anyway. Understand, again, this is not science, right? This is just some guiding principles drawn from Scripture and how God has made us to be to understand what you should do. So let me run through this quickly. Spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are the God-given supernatural abilities given to you when you become a follower of Jesus. Things you didn't have before you were born again. They are part of new creation. prophecy, words of knowledge, faith, healing, hospitality, administration, mercy, speaking in tongues, a whole bit. Spiritual gifts. Do you know what yours are? We're going to focus on those. But there's more to the conversation than just spiritual gifts. What should I do? Where should I serve? How is God maybe? How do I find the things I'm supposed to do in this world? S is for spiritual gifts. H is for heart or passion. What moves you? What brings a tear to your eye? What makes you angry? What are you passionate about? The things that you feel deeply, right? How asylum seekers are treated in this country? Helping children learn? Making sure that everything is organized? What are the things that burn in you that you're zealous about and passionate about? Like, if you're not passionate about children, don't serve in kids' ministry. I get complaints, right? You have no passion for it. Find the things that you're passionate about, the things that you feel like you have to do because it burns so deeply in you, right? Passion. Abilities is A. Abilities are your natural talents, your skills, your training, the things that kind of you have if you're not a Christian still. Okay, so you might say, I'm really good at problem solving. I'm an organized person. I've got an engineering degree. I've run a business before. I know how to do bookkeeping. I'm good at conflict resolution. I have good personal intuition. I can tell what's happening for people. What are the things God has given you? You know? Previous church, I had a friend who helped with our website and media and stuff. He's doing a PhD in robotics. He's an electrical engineer, electronics engineer. So he's like, I wonder if there's a way I could serve. You know, I had another lady who was a statistician and we were doing some census data analysis. And I literally said one day, like, if you're in the congregation and you maybe have a maths degree specializing in statistics, please come and have a chat to me. We would like to utilize your skills. And the work I got her to do was like, oh. She said, Mark, I work with millions and millions of pieces of data. I work for a bank. I analyze credit card statements, right? Those are gifts and abilities she has. What has God put in you? Maybe you're a plumber. Maybe you're an electrician. If you are, come and have a chat. We love you guys, right? Maybe you like to fix broken things. What skills and abilities and training have you had? Now, if you're nearing retirement, you are coming into your sweet spot for making an incredible contribution to the people of God. The day you retire, you have more skill, more experience, more training, more talent, more time than you've ever had before. So if you're heading into that sweet spot, oh man, we can't wait to get you deeply involved in the life of the church. Okay, A is for ability. P is personality. What kind of person are you? Have you done a personality profile before? Do you know, are you big picture? Are you small picture? Are you fast? Are you slow? Are you people? Are you task? Are you planned and organized or are you spontaneous? Do you like to blend in or do you like to stand out? Is talking in front of a couple of hundred people with not referring to notes an idea of a good Sunday for you, or does that terrify you? What kind of person has God made you to be? So, quick little experiment here, okay? We're going to just do two little axes. We're going to do fast and slow. Are you a fast person? You like action, speed, getting things done, talking to people? If that's you, stay away from caffeine, okay? Because you're fast enough as it is. Are you fast or are you slow? Are you people or are you task? Okay, so some people, when the pressure's on, they will throw away the task and just focus on the people. When push comes to shove, they're like, who really cares about that? Let's just make sure everyone's okay. That's my mum. My mum's like, it doesn't matter if we don't achieve the things we promised to achieve. Let's just make sure that everything's okay. How's that? Hello. Some people go through shoes really quickly. I go through microphones. What can I say? Rightio. So let's have a little look. This is kind of trying to work out who we are as a church, okay? So I'm going to get you to stand up, and then, and if you don't know, that's okay. Like I said, it's not science. It just helps us get a bit of a feel for how God has shaped us, okay? So let's have the people. So this is me. So I am fast-paced people. So if I have a team of people and a microphone and a project and a budget, I'm like in my element, I just want to build the team, inspire people, and let's go for it. Let's go, go, go. That's me. Fast-paced, drawn towards people. Okay, that's you. Can you stand up where you are? This should be easy if that's you because you like being in front of people. How interesting. Okay, there you go. Yeah, I see the PT there coming out. Personal trainer, yep. Right, okay. If you want to be inspired, if you want to join a team, if you want someone that's going to develop you, look around the room. These are the people to come and spend time with, okay? You guys can grab a seat. Well done, well done. What about slow-paced people? So these are the nurturers, the carers, the supporters. Often they are teachers or nurses. People are kind of in the caring, counselors, slow-paced people. That's you. Do you want to stand up now and give us a feel for who we got here? Okay, there we go. Interesting. Now, if you are feeling down or hurt and want someone to look after you, someone who will listen to you and care for you and nurture you, look around the room. These are the people to go to when you're feeling upset, okay? Because they will love on you. They can't help it. They will sit you down, make you a cup of tea, and look after you. We need you guys. That's wonderful. Grab a seat. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's wonderful. Okay. How about the slow-paced task? So these are people who like to go slow, attention to detail. They're the administrators, the finances, the architects, the designers. They like to analyze information. They like to get everything nice and straight and neat. The thought of jumping out without thinking it through is a nightmare for them. Who are those people? Do you want us to stand up now? Slow-paced task. Okay. Interesting. There we go. That's fascinating. Now, if you want someone to help you think something through and get something done without all the gaps, right? If you want someone, like if you're looking for legal advice, for example, these are the people to talk to. That's very funny. But you know what I mean. People who are, I feel like I've lost the room. Anyway, grab a seat. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. Slow-paced people, they're often called analyzers, right? Fast-paced people desperately need slow-paced task people. Otherwise, we miss things. We need each other. And the last group is fast-paced task. These are the get-it-done people. Okay, stand up. Yeah, there we go. That's interesting. So these are the people that often end up working for themselves because they're like, I can't go this slowly. I'm going to achieve some stuff. I'm going to get it done. I don't care how much it costs, how long it takes. We're going for it. We are going to storm the mountain. We are going to build the empire. We are going to get it done. Often these people end up in leadership roles or management roles or kind of project management sort of space, or they work for themselves. So if you want something done, these are the people to talk to, okay? Because they will be like, yep, I can do that. And they will. They will. Wonderful. Please grab a seat. That's so good. So good. The point that I'm making is that God has shaped us all uniquely. Spiritual gifts, heart ability, heart and passions, abilities, personality type, experience. Experiences are the things that have happened to you in life that have shaped you. What have you been through? Often your ministry is connected to your experiences and particularly your heart experiences. So if you've experienced a lot of, like if you've had cancer and recovered from that, that experience has shaped you profoundly. And out of that comes an incredible opportunity for you to minister to other people. If you've been bankrupt before, if you've been unemployed for a significant period of time, if you lived in another culture, if you've lost a child, if you've, what's happened in your life, if you've built a house, like all those experiences, if you've ever been fired before, like all that stuff shapes us. And God redeems our experiences and uses them. Think about Moses. Moses in the desert with Israel, 2 million people. Moses was educated as a prince in Egypt. Moses had the best education on planet Earth. He was personally mentored by the people that built the pyramids. Moses learned project management from the Egyptian project managers. So when he's in the desert and he's like, geez, how do I organize 2 million people? If only I had some Bunny had 40 years worth of the best education on planet Earth into organizing millions of people in the desert, a la working at, you know, in Egypt. Moses had that experience. God had shaped him and prepared him for that. O is for opportunities. What open doors? What crossroads are you at? Lord, what should I do? Where should I serve? What should I do? Opportunity. What lies in front of you? What vacancies are there? Who's saying, hey, can we have a chat? What's changed in your life circumstances that now means you're able to do something you couldn't do? Maybe all your kids are at school now. Maybe you've retired. Maybe you've recovered your health. Like, what are the opportunities that are facing you that will help you determine what you should do? Understanding your shape will help answer the question, what am I supposed to do? What's my best contribution to the people of God and to the community around me? Okay, that's a bit of an introduction. Now what we're going to do is I'm going to look at some of the spiritual gifts over the next couple of weeks. Some today, some next week, and some the week after. It starts out slow and we pick up speed. So if you're thinking, he's got 20 to get through, how are we going to do this? It will accelerate towards the end, I promise. Okay, so we're looking at spiritual gifts. Now, there's a number of passages in God's Word that talk about the spiritual gifts, mostly in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. Now, this is an area that can be quite controversial. In fact, some Christian leaders host conferences saying, you know, we are pro-spiritual gifts. We believe all the spiritual gifts are available for today, and we should be using them and exploring them and promoting them. Other Christian leaders have a conference basically saying, we are the No More Spiritual Gifts Camp conference. Welcome to the Gifts Are Finished conference, right? Some people say only certain gifts are available, like you can be a teacher now but not an apostle. How does it all work? Which gifts are available? Are they all miraculous? Like sometimes they use the distinction miraculous, non-miraculous. Like healings, miraculous, and prophecies, miraculous, but service and administration and faith and help, they're non-miraculous spiritual gifts. That's not helpful because all the gifts are miraculous because they all come from the Spirit of God. Every single gift is supernatural in origin. They're all a miracle. They're a gift from God. Probably the best way to categorize the gifts is to put them into three camps. The people are the gift of the Spirit. Some gifts are word gifts, like teaching, prophecy, words of knowledge, tongues. And then some gifts are service gifts, help, encouragement, administration, service, hospitality. They're action gifts, they're service gifts. So people, prophets, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, the people are the gifts. That's Ephesians 4. All the gifts can be spoken gifts. All the gifts can be service gifts. I think they're the most helpful categories. Now, I think in the scripture we have a list of gifts, but it's open. It's not a definitive gift, not a definitive list of gifts, because the different places have different gifts included. What Paul says in Romans 12 is not quite the same as what he says in 1 Corinthians 12. They're an open list. So I think there might be some gifts that aren't mentioned in Scripture but are legitimate, because there's about 20 when you put them all together from all the different gifts. But I think they're representative rather than definitive. So what we're going to do is we're going to look through some of the gifts. You might try and do a couple today. And then there might be opportunities for some Q&A or some discussion. Like I might say, like, who's got the gift of faith? How does that work? What's that like? Paul, you got the gift of faith. Tell me what that was like. And I might interview him, you know, or, prophecy or something. I'm going to explain it all from God's word. I'm going to workshop it a little bit with you. The ones that I have experience of, I'll share. Ones I don't, we might talk about that together a bit. So we'll do a bit of roving mic as part of that too. Now, if you're like at this point thinking, oh, Mark, I'm not sure how comfortable I feel about this. We're going to talk about interpretation of tongues. Like, White Hill is a pretty conservative church. Are we sure about this? Go easy. We're going to work it all through together from God's word. I've been talking with the pastors and elders about the sermon series, and we're on the same page with it. We want to demystify things and explain things so that each of us can discover, develop, and deploy our gifts. All right? But don't be anxious. Okay, first one. Message of wisdom. This is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. A message of wisdom is an insight into the mysterious workings of God in Christ. Maybe you've been at a small group before, and someone in the group's been sharing about a situation in their life, and people have been saying, what is God doing? What's happening here? What's going on? And the person says, I don't get it. Like, I'm not sure what God is doing. I don't really understand what's happening. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. Like, am I supposed to step out in faith courageously and be bold and jump? Am I supposed to be patient and wait? Like, I don't really know what God is doing. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And the group will kind of kick that around for a while. Have you experienced this? Then somebody with the gift of the message of wisdom will say, you know, I think this is what God is doing. And I think we should do that. And everyone just goes, yes. How did we not see that? How did we miss that? Of course that's what God is doing. Now that you say it, it's so clear, and the Holy Spirit in us is at peace and is confirming for us what you've just shared. And of course that's the way forward. Of course that's what God wants us to do. It makes so much sense now that you've said it. The Spirit of God in us resonates with what you've shared. That's a message of wisdom, understanding what God is doing and being able to chart a way forward. Now, this is not the same thing as wisdom generally. The Bible says that all of us should be wise. Now, the book of Proverbs is all about growing in wisdom. In James 5, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, they should ask God who gives generously. So wisdom in general is not the same thing as a message of wisdom. Wisdom in general is knowing what is best in a situation where the moral rules don't apply. Knowing what is best in a situation where the moral rules don't apply. Should I buy this car or steal this car? That's not a wisdom issue. That's a morality issue. Thou shalt not steal. Okay? But should I buy a new car to replace my old car? That's a wisdom issue. It's not right or wrong. It's discerning what's best. What leads to the most life and fruit and joy? What does it mean to honor God, to be responsible and faith-filled and faithful? Wisdom in general is knowing what to do in situations where the moral rules don't apply, discerning what is best and acting in accordance with that. This kind of wisdom, message of wisdom, is about knowing what God is doing. It's a gift that some people have by the Holy Spirit, and then what we should do. Does that make sense? If you've experienced this, it's actually quite a profound thing when someone shares something and everyone goes, yes, of course that's what God is doing. We see now, we understand now. Now that you've said it, we get it. Number one, message of wisdom. Okay, number two. Number two is a message of knowledge. Message of knowledge. Message of knowledge is when God gives someone information to pass on to somebody else. It could be information for an individual. It could be information for the whole church. I think God wants me to say this to you. That's a message of knowledge. It's not prophecy. Prophecy is the very words of God. A message of knowledge is more like a hunch or an inference or a burden or a picture or it's a message to pass on to somebody. Anyone have this gift? Because this is one of the ones that I have, and now and then it comes up. I remember one time a couple of years ago, I was walking through my kitchen. It was a Sunday afternoon, and I was walking through my kitchen. I was thinking about a friend of mine who was a pastor, and I literally stopped, kettle in hand, midway through my kitchen, and I felt God say to me, it's weird language, isn't it? I had this, it wasn't my conscience, but it was kind of like my conscience. I had this, not a voice, but a hunch, a burden, an inference, a feeling. I knew that it wasn't me, that it was God. Like I kind of knew that God was saying to me, I want you to say this to your friend. And on this occasion, it was so strong that I actually stopped midway through my walking through my kitchen, and I got on my phone and I wrote a message to my friend. And this is what I said. Hey, mate, I just felt led to encourage you and to remind you that you are doing a great work. You are a gifted leader and a gifted leader and teacher, a man of integrity. Be encouraged. And I felt so strongly I needed to send that message to him. Next day he phoned me and he said, Mark, I was sitting in the front row of the church half an hour before the service after like the worst Sunday on record. It was just, I was so discouraged. And I was sitting there, like holding my phone in my hand, just sort of staring at the screen blankly, saying to God, God, I don't think I'm cut out for this anymore. I feel like a failure. I feel like giving up. I feel like I'm not a gifted teacher. Like I'm not a gifted leader. Like I'm so discouraged. And he was sitting there thinking, I'm going to go write my resignation letter. I'm going to quit the ministry. He's sitting there, phone in hand, saying, Lord, I don't feel like a gifted leader or teacher. I feel discouraged. I want to quit. While he's praying that, a message from me literally ping on his screen. And it says, he's saying, Lord, I feel discouraged. I feel like you're not talking to me. I feel like quitting. I feel like I'm not gifted. I feel discouraged. Hey, mate, just felt led to encourage you, to remind you that you are doing a great work. You're a gifted leader and teacher, a man of integrity. Be encouraged. You had no idea what that meant at that time. That was exactly what God needed to say to me. That's exactly what I needed to hear at that moment. That encouragement was so, so, so important to me at that time. It's a message of knowledge. I often write them down because it helps me crystallize things. Sometimes it takes me a little while to distill down. Like I might be driving in my car and say, I think of Paul, you know. I'm like, oh, it's Paul's in my mind. I start praying for him and I kind of feel this restlessness. You know, like when you realize you forgot to call someone back, you know that feeling? I'm kind of like, oh, I feel, Lord, oh, what do you, I think you want to say something to me to pass on to Paul. And then I would try and, through prayer, I would try and articulate it and distill it. Sometimes it takes a couple of days. Sometimes it happens instantly. And after a while, I'll get clear in my head, this is the thing God wants me to say. This is the thing he wants me to say. And then I'll send a message or phone that person or write a note or what have you. It's a message of knowledge. It can be an encouragement. It can be a timely piece of information. Lord, should I go for the job or not? Hey, it's Mark here. I just really believe God wants me to tell you to go for the job. I feel like that would mean something to you at the moment. Anyway, I think that's from God. God bless. Right? Timely information, encouragement, or it can be a challenge, a rebuke. It can be pointing out sin. But it's a message from God. It's not God's direct words. It's content from God to pass on. Okay? We'll talk about this just for a moment and then we'll close. Anybody want to share an experience they've had either receiving a word of a message of knowledge from somebody, sometimes called a word of knowledge, or where they've, maybe they have that gift and you want to share this one time, or this is how it works for me. Anybody want to share? We'll grab another mic and good time to scratch your ear. So, yep, Belinda, just as we go over to Belinda, often a great way to preface it is sometimes it's the people that you know, right? And sometimes people you don't know, like go to the guy in the red shirt and say this to him. And you say, hi, mate, my name's Mark. I'm a follower of Jesus. This is going to sound crazy, but I just believe God wants me to tell you this. And just pass that information on. Belinda.
Recently, I just had someone contact me who has been a spiritual mentor in my life for a very long time. And he just said to have a look at your life and to do what God has always done, always had you do, and that is to care for people and to look out for people and to nurture people, and that's what you're good at. And at the time, I was actually going through what was I supposed to do in a certain situation, and that was exactly the right word of knowledge I needed. Yeah.
Wow, just precise, timely. That's wonderful. Someone else want to share? Maybe you have an experience where you've had a message to pass on to somebody. Over here, Paul. We'll come around to you. We've got Michelin quality service here. Compliment, take it how you want. Take it how you want.
It only happened about a month ago. And I got in a lift and a man got in with me. And he started talking about how much he didn't want to know about God or anything because he'd had bad experiences. By the time we got out of the lift, there was another lady with me, another Christian lady. And by the time I got out of the lift with him, we talked about the Lord, and I told him how much God loved him, and God really laid it on my heart that I had to pray for that man there and then. And this is right near the Tower Post Office, and there were people going past all the time, and he was very loud. And I said, I really believe I have to pray for you now. And I put my arms, I wrapped my arms around this man. He was quite scary. And I wrapped my arms around him, and I just told him how much God loved him. And God chose this time that my friend and I would be there to meet this man. And he just broke down and he cried. And people were coming up and saying, is everything all right? Is everything all right? I'm saying, yeah, everything's great. And it was such an experience. I just wanted to yell out my praise to God and my thanks to God for choosing that particular moment and choosing me to talk to this huge man.
Wow, that's awesome.
Don't you see the Holy Spirit's fingerprints all over that? Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. All right, let's quickly sneak in one more. This is a quick one. Gift of faith. Some people, I think this is number three, gift of faith. All of us have sort of general, generic faith. So faith is putting your trust in Jesus, right? It's taking God at his word. It's believing in him. It's transferring trust to him. We have faith that saves us, where we take our faith from trusting in ourselves or someone else or something else, and we put our trust in Jesus. That's saving faith. That's when you become a follower of Jesus. Then we walk by faith, which means trusting God, believing him. Faith, belief, and trust, same word in the Greek scriptures. That's general faith. A gift of faith is a bit different, like wisdom. A gift of faith is people who find it easy to believe that God has said, is going to do what he said, and he can be trusted. People that find it easy to believe. Yeah, Cameo? Yeah, that's you, is it? You just can't help it. Alexia has this too. I don't understand it. She said, I don't know. I can't explain it. I just think God's going to do this. I just trust him. I'm not making it up. I'm not trying to be like a motivational, you know? I can't explain it. I just find it easy to believe that that is what God is going to do. When people use the gift of faith, and we're trying to raise money for a special project. We're waiting for the results for something. We have this sense that God's going to do something, but we're kind of struggling and wavering in our doubt. People with the gift of faith come and they boost morale. They help us to trust in God. They're not making it up. They're not like, I better be positive. They just can't help but trusting in God. If that's you, if you have that gift, we need you. We need you to speak up, because when you use your gift of faith, when you talk about how you're trusting God and how God can be trusted, and it's real for you and it's believable, and we can't help but be encouraged by that. So if you have that gift, please, please, please use it. Let's have the worship team come back up, and I'm going to pray, and then we'll go on from there. So next week we'll do a few more, and then the last week we'll finish the list. Yeah, let's pray together. Let's pray.